So it's 2024 and your church still doesn't have a website?
Welcome to the Digital Ministry Podcast, where we are having conversations about the strategies of sharing God's love in the digital world. Now, here is your host, Joshua Verwers.
That's right, I am Joshua Verwers. This is the Digital Ministry Podcast, and if you are unfamiliar with this show, I just thought I would let you know that I'm a small church pastor in rural Iowa who has been creating faith-filled content online for a little over 5 years, and my goal is to really help other small church pastors and ministry leaders expand their reach online so that they can have a bigger impact for the kingdom of God. And in today's episode, I'm just answering the question, does my church really need a website? And yes, the answer is yes, emphatically yes. But before I explain why, let me just encourage you that if you enjoy this show and you're getting some value out of it, go ahead and leave us a rating or review on whatever podcast platform that you're on. And if you didn't already know, you can also watch these episodes instead of just listening to them by heading over to either Spotify or YouTube. And if you want to connect with me, you can do so at Joshua Verwers across most of the socials. And while you're there, take a screenshot of this podcast episode, tag me in it, and let's go ahead and share it so we can encourage other small church pastors and ministry leaders to start listening to the Digital Ministry Podcast. Okay, so I said yes. Yes, your church definitely needs a website. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, do I really need a website if I have a Facebook page? The answer is still yes. And others of you are kind of thinking like I am, okay, it's the year 2024. Doesn't every church have a website by now? Well, no, they do not. You know, I was actually looking around my local town and also the town where my church is located in because I'm about 30 minutes away. And in both of those towns, I found that only about 60% of the churches actually had a website. Yeah, that was kind of startling because that's just over half. I mean, if we can do some math, that's out of every 10 churches that there would be. 4 of them don't have any type of a website to be able to look it up. Like, the closest thing that you could find was something off of Yelp. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just a local thing. So I will check my ministerial alliance and check with them. And when I started actually going through their website for their church locator, I found it was 50% of their churches actually had a working website. I mean, there were a few others that they had a website listed, but it wasn't working. And it didn't matter if they just said it was a .org and I substituted the org for a com or a net or a church. It still didn't bring anything up. So, yeah, about 60% once again. And then that leads us to the other group, which they're the ones that say, well, at least I've got a Facebook page. Doesn't that work? Well, no, because that kind of assumes that everybody is on Facebook. And while a lot of people are on Facebook, not everybody is on Facebook. And when I was checking our ministerial association, I found that while 57% had working websites, 5% had a Facebook page. Now, granted, of that 57, I'm sure all of them did, but there were 5% that only had a Facebook page. And I might also add that only 5% had a working Facebook page because there were some of them that, their Facebook pages weren't working anymore, which will get me to one of the reasons why you should have a website. But I guess in today's episode, what I want to try to do is give you 5 reasons why your church should have a website. And let's just start off with number 1, and that would be, it's to let people actually find your church. I mean, our church runs, 30, 35 people on an average Sunday. So we are a small church. Maybe you would call it a micro church. I don't care how you want to label it. I'm just setting that out there for context. And here's the thing about our church. The last couple people that have come as visitors and then became members, they actually found us by looking us up online. And by online, they went to our website. I kind of found some shocking statistics out there about what happens when you are doing searches. And if you didn't realize this, half of all searches that are done on Google are local searches. That means people that are looking in their local area. And I imagine you can relate to this because you've probably done it, especially when you start to type in something like, give me restaurants near me. Or what is a gas station close by? And here's the interesting thing about that. those nearby and close by searches have actually increased 900% in the last 2 years. Now, Google isn't really going to want to start promoting everybody to Facebook if they don't have to, but when you're listed as a church, all of a sudden that's a local organization that Google does want to put in on its searches, and yeah, that would be a good reason to have a website that pulls up for Google to recognize that people can actually go to rather than it just being a, yeah, I think there's a church in your area. And then one of the other statistics about those searches is that 97% of people actually learn more about their local organizations from searching their website and going online. I think that would be kind of a good idea to have something out there so that people interested in looking for churches might be able to look at our church and find out, hey, is this a church for you? Now, here's another one, which we kind of briefly talked about with the non-working Facebook pages. Your website is actually controlled by you. It's owned by you. It is one of the very few pieces of digital real estate that you can own. And what I mean by digital real estate is it's the place where you're at and you're kind of parking yourself in the online digital space. Whether you've got an X account or as it used to be known, Twitter, whether you've got an Instagram page, a TikTok, a Facebook, a YouTube, a LinkedIn, whatever you've got, those are not owned by you. They are owned by those companies, and those companies are just allowing you the privilege to be able to use that. And yes, the Mark Zuckerberg giveth and the Mark Zuckerberg can taketh away. And there are churches that have seen that. Church Facebook pages have been completely shut down. You've heard churches talking about that on YouTube with their channels being like shut down and demonetized, or maybe it's been shadow banning and so there's a suppression of it. And what they're always doing is they're always adjusting the algorithms. Years back, it went from like a low single digit percentages of organic reach to then like minuscule percentages of 1% of organic reach. And that is all up to the company. Whatever they want to do on their platform, it's their right. It's their real estate. They can do what they want with it. And for us as small churches, the only pieces of digital real estate that we really own is our email list and our website. And when you have it, you can post whatever you want on there and you don't have to worry about somebody else really trying to silence you. Now, the third point and the third reason why you would want a church website is because of first impressions. And if you do not have a church website, that in and of itself is a first impression. If I'm a visitor and I'm somebody that is looking for a church, imagine I just moved to your area and I'm trying to find out churches that are near me, and I want to get on their website because I want to be able to see a little bit about what they look like, where they're at. Maybe I can listen to a message. Maybe I'll be able to kind of read their tenets of faith so I can see if what they believe lines up with what I believe. But what happens when you don't have a church website? Well, the impression that would give me is you ain't up with the times. Like, you're so far behind in technology that I don't know, I would probably jump to a conclusion that walking in there, it would be hardwood benches, we would be singing out of paper hymnals, and yeah, there's probably somebody running around with a tambourine. Now, if that's your cup of tea, that's great, grand, fine, and wonderful. But if you're trying to attract, I don't know, maybe this younger generation that is spending a lot of their time online, you might want to have your own little digital presence online. And that first impression, is there something there or is there not? Now, I'm not going to get into the whole bag of weeds of the first impression of actual church websites and how some of them, they look fantastic. And others, they look frightening. We'll save that topic for another episode. But let me give you number four. That would be that church websites are relatively easy to update. And by relatively easy to update, it really depends on the type of platform that you're using and where you're actually hosting your website content and whether you are doing it yourself and have some of that technical expertise, whether it's coding or whether it's like a drag and drop, what you see is what you get type of a website. But here's what I really mean about it being relatively easy to update. You ever had one of those things, you know, they kind of come on like this piece of paper, and what you wind up having, it's a business card? Yeah, we've printed those up in church before, and we tried to hand them out to people so that they would have my number. And I think that was actually two phone numbers ago. And on top of that, it had like other information that was wrong on there, you know, like, I don't know, the title that I actually have at my church now, because back when we printed them, I believe I was still the assistant pastor. And you know how easy it is to print those back up, right? Yep, you gotta spend more money, and you gotta wait for the printer to get it done, and then you gotta start dispersing it. Whereas if we just update the church website, bada bing, bada boom, there you go, it's updated. Simple and easy. And then there's also the other thing about, have you ever printed something up and, I don't know, you got the wrong date, you got the wrong time, you wound up getting, I don't know, like the wrong Bible verse in there, or you misspelled a word and all you could do is look at it and be like, whoopsie. Yeah, with the church website, when you wind up having one of those whoopsies, they're really kind of easy to fix. All you got to do is hit the backspace button and type it the correct way. And now let me give you my final reason why your church should have a church website. And I am speaking specifically to small churches, but also to really all churches. With your church website, it is available all the time. Those church websites are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the vast majority of information that people searching your website are going to be looking for is right there. So when there's a potential visitor that's wanting to get some information, well, they can get it at their convenience. And if you're a small church like us, sometimes those office hours are very minimal because you are short-staffed and you're already a bivocational minister, and some of y'all are trivocational ministers, which means you don't have a lot of office hours. And if you've got a website, it does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, and it is always available. So this is a case where we have that digital presence. We have the online capabilities to get all of the necessary information out there so that when people are searching, they can find it. Now, lastly, I want to kind of address this to the fellow pastors, especially those of you that are in small churches, that you do have a website and you've got a nice looking website, but you know people in your own ministry association that they don't. Not only do they not have a website, you also know some of them that they don't have a really good-looking website. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to take this episode and share it with them to try to give them some of the reasons why they need a church website. And then I also want to urge you to be that source of help for them, to kind of reach out and say, hey, if you've got any questions about doing it, I would love to let you know anything I do. I may not know it all, but I got a little bit of something, and I will help steer you as best as I can. I'll at least give you some ideas of where to go. So there you go. Let me know your thoughts on church websites. Are there any other reasons that you think that churches really need to have a website? I would love to hear those. And also, if you've got a question that you would like me to answer, or at least attempt to answer here on the Digital Ministry Podcast, you can send me a voice message. There is a link down in the description below, no matter where you're listening to this at. And send it over, and your question may be featured on a future episode. Also, if you want more digital ministry help, like maybe some tips, some tricks, some tools, maybe even some tutorials, allow me to encourage you to join the digital ministry membership over on my website, where all I'm trying to do is really share a bunch of the information and insights that I've got to show you how I do what I do, and maybe you'll glean something of that that can help you. Plus, there's an added little bonus for those digital ministry podcast listeners, because if you're also a member, you wind up getting every single episode 1 week in advance. Yep, you heard that right. Next week's episode is out right now for the digital ministry membership. So if it's something you're interested in, head over to my website at joshuaverwers.com, sign up for $10 a month, or as I affectionately refer to it, a weekly cup of coffee. And that's all I've got for you. So until next time, stay blessed, enjoy God's best, and have a great week.